It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harbell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harbell and Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins, attorneys at law here on the Talk Station, and Cecil Harbell is with us. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Glad you're able to wade in this morning.
Absolutely. Brought my life jacket.
Yes. So what are we talking about today?
Ben, the last few weeks, we have spoken about different elder law issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like today to just kind of summarize that. We'll call this program Summary of mm-hmm. Elder Law Issues, and give some finality to the last two or three weeks that we've spoken about this. And Ben, first off, if you had a laundry list of the top 10 items to talk about, number one is we just have to make sure that our elder client has a good, solid and very specific power of attorney.
Right.
So that the children would then be able to implement the planning that we have put into place at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is that once we have a power of attorney in place, Ben, as we know, you know that one of the first things that we do is to protect the real property or the land holdings of the elder client.
Mm-hmm.
We get these things put in a trust so that they are protected from any kind of lien recovery by a nursing home or by some large medical expense or something of that nature that can come our way in the last, you know, several years of a long, long life and have a devastating financial consequence. I mean, most all of us spend a lifetime of owning a home and getting it paid off,
right,
and being mortgage free. And then this is a significant, many times the most significant asset in anyone's estate, their home, or any other land holdings that they happen to have. So the first step after a power of attorney is, of course, to create these trusts and to get our land holdings placed in them. The power of attorney then becomes critical because, yes, there are going to be certain liquid assets, maybe bank holdings, CDs, bonds, whatever other assets the client might have that the family is going to need to deal with at a later date. And that would most likely be at the time that our loved one goes into a long-term care facility and at the time that we then deal with the liquidity or the cash holdings of the client. But we're able to deal with them for two reasons, Ben. We're mm-hmm. able to deal with those bank holdings, if you will, the CDs, the stocks, what other holdings are there other than real estate. We're able to deal with them because of the fact that the client has a good power of attorney that grants the authority to their loved one to handle that, those issues. And number two, because the client created at one point
right.
this trust.
Yes, yes. Which
makes all the difference. So that is the beginnings of the fundamentals of what we do with regard to our elder law planning.
Mm-hmm. So with that, again, we get the planning going and everything is underway for that. And the power of attorney is triggered for when? I mean, how does that get rolling?
Well, the power of attorney is triggered. That's a good question, and it has some multiple answers, but like so many things in the law.
Yeah, right.
But Ben, basically, most usually, a power of attorney is signed at the time that we, of course, are competent to sign it. It has specific grants of authority to our loved ones to be able to follow through with certain banking, stock, bond, any IRA, any kind of asset like that decision. And it becomes operative in most files just simply being when it's such a generic, simple, organic answer, which is just when the family knows that the time has come.
Right.
that just can no longer handle these affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, loving daughter, loving son come in, and they know that the time is there for them to handle these affairs for their parent. Many times the parent will say, you know, to their daughter or their son, you know, John or Sue, I can't, you know,
go ahead. Yeah.
Please go ahead and handle these things for me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is in, you know, a good functioning family. And fortunately those are the majority of the families. But if there is a conflict about whether or not the power of attorney needs to be operative. In other words, one child is saying, no, dad is just fine. And the other child is saying, no, dad is not okay.
Yeah, it's not like there's sometimes is that denial.
And right. And there's a conflict, then that's going to need to be resolved by, most likely, initially it would be resolved by letters from the physicians giving us an opinion as to whether or not dad is in a position to be able to make significant decisions relative to his affairs.
Okay, and now that's separate, though, from the health care power of attorney, but it has
it
a similar
separate.
Kind of inaction. Or so.
Well, it's very different. The health care power of attorney is just for health care decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we hospitalized? Consent to surgery, consent to anesthesia, consent to certain diagnostic proceedings, release of our medical information and our medical chart. We are the health care proxy, if you will, under a health care power of attorney for our dad, as we've been using today as an
mm-hmm.
example. A durable power of attorney is very, very different in that it is dealing with our assets. It's dealing with our land holdings, our cars, our boats, our trailers, our bank accounts, our retirement accounts, our tax returns, anything of a financial nature.
Okay.
Flows through the power of attorney.
If you have a question about all of this, you can call, or about anything to do with your civil life, you can call at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674. And we do have a caller now. Fred is on the line with us from Mill Creek. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Fine. How about you?
Hello.
Hello. How can we help?
Yes, sir. My mother has Alzheimer's, and my father is elderly, and he's trying to take care of her, sometimes not very well. And I was wondering, he's got land, they've got bank accounts and all of this, and I was wondering if something happened to him, would I be able to take my mother and get power of attorney to at least pay the bills and stuff?
Well, your mother needs a power of attorney as well. Both your mother and both your father and your mother, and they need, you know, alternates in their powers of attorney. For instance, they many times, husband and wife, they will name, of course, each other, and then they do need to go ahead and name someone like yourself, Fred. You know, they need to go ahead in the document and have an alternate.
The problem is I can't get my father to do nothing. He just doesn't care anymore. He knows he ain't going to be around too long, and he just doesn't care to deal with anything. So I'll be stuck with a house, four mm-hmm. dogs, four cats, six mm-hmm. cats, four dogs,
right.
All the bills.
Right.
And no money to pay for none of that, you know. And she'll have all the money. From what I understand, everything goes to her automatically. And she's got Alzheimer's. She don't know what to do with nothing.
Well, you have some typical issues, Fred, that we deal with quite frequently. And there would be, you know, there is advice that I would give under those circumstances. The facts that you've given are not, I've heard these facts before. First of all, and I was going to say earlier, you know, it depends on the stage of your mother's illness as to whether or not she even at this point is able to sign a power of attorney. She may be able physically to sign it with Alzheimer's, but the question is, does she know and recognize and understand the significance of the document that she's signing? And I'm not asking you that to answer that right now, but I'm just telling you that that would be something that we would need to look into. Now, if for some reason she still does have, and sometimes this is a matter of, you know, they call it lucid intervals, you know, moments of time, days. You know, we all have good days and bad days. We all have that.
She does, too.
Okay, great. These are the kinds of things we'd be talking about in my office. You know, can we find a good day, even though it might be that you call at 9 o'clock in the morning and say, "Hey, Cecil, this is a good day. Can you come out today?" You know, we have situations like this, and on a good day, if we can find your mom in a situation where she does understand, you know, the nature and extent of her estate, who her heirs happen to be, and she can sign a legal document, then that would be wonderful.
It would be helpful for a friend to have this done.
Another one of my concerns is, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here.
Yeah, another one of my concerns is I have a sister, and she's waiting to steal all my mother's money, so to speak. And I'm afraid that's going to happen if I don't get some kind of a power over or of attorney to stop her.
Well, I was going to go on to say, Fred, you have a multitude of issues, clearly, a multitude of questions, and you do need answers. What you need to hear is that good answers are available. There are certain alternatives that are certainly very advantageous to you at this point and advantageous to your family, and you do need to seek the guidance of a lawyer who can help you with these kinds of things. Okay, you do need to hear that. I mean,
can I get with one of you guys about that?
You're welcome to call our office. Absolutely, you're welcome to do that, or any other good lawyer. Not that I'm saying you can't call us, but I'm just saying if you have a lawyer, then call the lawyer that you have. But if you don't,
I don't, but my dad does but I don't know who he is, you know.
I understand. Well, we'll be glad to help you if we can. Absolutely.
Just keep listening, and we'll have those numbers.
Right. Now, the other thing, though, when you bring your sister into the fold and you say, "Well, but gosh, Cecil, I'm concerned that if I don't get this power of attorney, my sister is going to potentially empty the accounts." Then, first of all, we either need to get the power of attorney. That makes it that much more important. And if, as a last condition, we cannot obtain a power of attorney, then there is the proceeding, as we've discussed in this on this program many times, where you would obtain a guardianship over your mother, over her property, through the clerk of court. Okay,
right.
And
that's all I would want is just be able to pay the bills and everything. I don't want to take her money or nothing. I just want to pay the bills and take care of the house and her, you know.
Well, that's what a guardianship would allow you to do. It would allow you the authority to have dominion and control over her assets, but of course, obviously, for her benefit. You're not able to use the funds for any other thing other than for her.
Yeah, I want it for me. I just want to be able to pay the house and the bills and feed her and all of that and maybe get her some kind of professional long-term health care or something.
Right.
Okay.
Fred, the other thing, Ben, and Fred, thank you for calling. And
stick around. We'll give you those numbers kind of in just a second.
Ben, the other thing that Fred brings to the table this morning, which is very typical, do we need to go to a break?
We will, but go ahead.
Okay, is the concept of, you know, kind of the non-cooperative parent.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we just have this all the time.
Yeah,
I had a file just yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Son is in the office. The son is probably, you know, 60 years old, and is just talking about, you know, he just cannot get his mother to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, scared to death about what it's going to cost, scared to death about the process. Really, you know, let's face it, once you become at this age in your life, this is not really your concern.
Right.
Your concern is just, how do I make it through the day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do I get up?
Have a good morning,
and
a good day,
morning,
and a good night.
Have breakfast.
Yeah, that's right.
And just, you know, get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And procrastination is just, you know, our best friend at this point in our life.
All right. Find out more again, Fred and others who would like to find out more information. You can call on Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law by reaching them at 252-726-9050. That's 726-9050. They're at 1107 Bridges Street in Morris City and online at harvellandcollins.com. And more with Cecil Harvell in just a moment. 10 minutes before the hour here, and Cecil Harbell with us from Harbell and Collins, and a great call, a very interesting call there from Fred. And Cecil, he outlines a lot of issues, and you want
well,
to follow
he
up?
Well, he does. He mentions, you know, the bit of conflict. I don't know the full extent of it between he and his sister, and his concern about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fairly typical issue that we hear. We hear the issue of the fact that there's potentially a member of his family, his mother, who might not still be competent to sign documents.
Right.
Okay, that is a typical issue that we hear, and we have mm-hmm. to work through that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, they're good days, they're bad days. What does the doctor have to say about this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he brings up the issue of the of the not cooperative or not too excited father who is just, you know, on his way to a law firm today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think that's happening, is it? So,
right.
So Fred is talking about. Now let's talk about that one for a moment. This again, all of these issues are typical things that we deal with. Day-to-day, bread and butter issues, Ben. And we just have to take it one step at a time as a lawyer working through these issues with a client like Fred. It is true that if Fred has a not too excited father about legal planning, then that child, unfortunately, has to really kind of take the initiative for their parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage that, okay? You know, if, you know, Dad, this is just what we need to do. This is what I have done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Each of these circumstances are unique. Fred knows his father better than I ever will. But the point is that if you have a not cooperative parent, that doesn't mean that you just, in my opinion, that you just, you know, close the door and forget about it and move on and just let all the chips fall where the chips fall. Let's try to see if we can eliminate some of the fear, some of the anxiety, some of the reason why the father is not wanting to be more proactive in getting some of these legal issues handled. I mean, Ben, I'll just lay it on the line. A lot of times the children have to pay for the legal advice.
Right.
Maybe they will at some point get reimbursed because things are better in things are in order, and
right.
therefore there is an estate for them to inherit. But this is not unusual
mm-hmm.
for a child to say to Wes or myself or the other lawyers at the law firm, you know, this is going to be my financial responsibility. Either my parents cannot afford it,
mm-hmm.
or they just will choose not to afford it.
So a child would have legal standing to initiate an action of some sort?
Yes. A child can begin this process with an attorney. We will certainly have to meet with the principal,
mm-hmm.
the mother, the father, go out to the home if necessary. Maybe he can bring his dad by one morning when they're out and about in town doing grocery shopping or,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Bring him by for a few minutes just for us to meet him. The client, keep in mind, the son would have already been by the office.
Right, right.
Okay. And then, of course, would say, well, I'll try to get my father by here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what was happening yesterday in a file. As I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
an older son was in the office. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad to have all this information. Now I'm going to go home and I'm going to really try to get my mom to just come by here and just hear all this.
All right. Again, if you want to find out more, it's harvellandcollins.com, 252-726-9050. And we'll be back with Cecil Harbell in just a moment. Hey, welcome back here to Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins, attorneys at law. We've been talking about elder law issues and had a great example of all of so many, Cecil, of so many of the issues are wrapped up in one.
Ben, my experience with the quote, and I hate to use these words because I'm not trying to lay blame at anyone's feet, the non-cooperative parent
mm-hmm.
sounds kind of negative, but But my experience with these those kinds of files is that once we get moving with them,
mm-hmm.
everything falls in line.
Right. Right.
Okay. We have to keep in mind that our parents react differently to we children
mm-hmm.
than they react necessarily to a professional, you know, attorney or to their doctor, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If we can just get an audience with mm-hmm. them, okay,
right.
then usually they are able to, we find that we are able to work into some positive results
well,
for that family.
Well, it's been the objective of the show over the years has been to demystify the law.
Yes.
So get you over that hurdle.
It does.
Asking that question.
It does. But the child, again, mm-hmm. is critical.
Right.
Because the child is the one who at least opens the door, like mm-hmm. Fred is trying to do, and makes a few baby steps, if you will, in the right direction in some way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to state, for Fred's sake and for other listeners who have a parent that just simply is not taking these things, this is not their day-to-day priority,
mm-hmm.
That usually we are very much able to help in these situations.
I know from when my mom had dementia that they had lucid times.
Yes.
There were some times. So
that's
do you need to have, like, papers at the ready? I mean, is that
yes,
something you
absolutely.
Need to have? Yes,
absolutely. I mean, Ben, absolutely.
So have yes. those, have that planning done.
Yeah, I have a situation right now, a gentleman mm-hmm. who has a wife who is in the identical, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're waiting
right.
for those moments when there are some days when she's just as cognizant as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of her documents ready at my office.
Yep.
And he has long since signed his documents. And he has been asked and instructed to call on that good day.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We're going to work him in on that good day.
Right.
We're going to probably work him in within an hour or so of him calling.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what a
it's
good
a triage situation.
It
you
is.
Jump right in. Right?
It is. We have a letter in the file from the doctor that confirms
mm-hmm.
that there are days that she has that are quite good, depending on her medication and other kinds of factors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're waiting for one of those days. And so the answer to your question is yes.
All right.
It does.
If you
it works
need to
just
get
like that.
If you need to get prepared in that way, then you want to get the right advice at the right time from Harvell & Collins, Attorneys at Law. Again, online at harvellandcollins.com and available for you at 252-726-9050, 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City.